All right, so today we're on Daf Tetvav today, and I should mention that today's Daf is also sponsored by Rafi Meidi. He sponsored several nights on the occasion of the Yortzeit of his father, Rachamim Ben Mani. Normally on this Daf, I normally would have scheduled a later Daf, but you say I should never do that, so I didn't do it, but it's a very short Amud Beis. All right, let's take a look. Thanks for having with us tonight, Ruth. Okay. Yeah, so we're on Daf Tetvav on the new Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Manitin Tikra Shina Le Mazivav. You have like a roof, a ceiling, there's no plaster on it. In other words, I'm in the house and I want to use my house as a sukkah, but I want to make changes in the house, so it'll be a kosher sukkah. So I have a tikra, I have a ceiling, and the ceiling is comprised of boards. And we know we have the issue with the boards from last mission. We'll talk about it. But he's saying I have a tikra shein alei maziva. There's no plaster on the roof. If there was plaster, the plaster is not something that I could use for schach anymore. So that would you know be a dead letter. So I have this tikra which is comprised of boards. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, if you remember from the Mishnah that we did last night, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, now I'll go with Rav's Pshat in the Mishnah from yesterday. Remember, according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra. He holds zero with Gzera Tikra. And then Remeir held there was Gzera Tikra. So here, Rabbi Yehuda is giving us the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain the machloket in a way that Beit Hillel doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra and Beit Shammai does hold from it, which is the way he would, you know, obviously fits in with his shita because he doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra. We go like Beit Hillel, and he's saying Beit Hillel doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra, but Beit Shammai holds from it. Beit Shammai is usually more machmir. Here too, they're more machmir. So he says, Tikra Shin Lamaz Diva, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machloket is Beit Shammai Omerim Befak Beit Benotel Achat Benatayim. That he, according to Beit Shammai, he's mefakpek. Again, this machlok could be shown about this mefakpek, but he either, according to Rashi, he lifts up each one of the slats, each one of the boards on the roof. That's mefakpek. And benotel achat benatayim. And then he removes alternate slats and replaces it with kosher schach. Let me just get the nice picture from this. Let me see the picture. Closing in on it. Yeah. Okay, yeah, page 48 in the big picture book. So if you have the picture book, so it shows a nice picture of a house, and the house has got a roof on it, and there's no plaster on the roof. He's got that right. And then now, so in the first picture, according to Rashi, he lifts up each board and replaces the board. He's lifting up each board and replacing the board. Now, the purpose of lifting up the boards and replacing them is it shouldn't be tasev lo manasui. In other words, I want it to be a kosher sukkah, but it wasn't placed there the shem schach. So I'm gonna lift it up and replace it. Now it'll be in good shape. That's mefakpek. And then in addition to which, according to Beit Shammai, there's still a problem of gzera tikra, because according to the way Rabbi Yehuda understands it, according to a Beit Shammai, there is gzera tikra. I'm not allowed to use boards for my schach. Yep. Okay. 15A, the top, okay? So I can't use boards for the schach. So I'm going to replace alternate boards with schach, which is the picture in the picture book on the upper left on page 49 in the upper left-hand corner. Right, so that's picture number 166, I meant. Okay, 166 is the one where it's alternating, okay? So Beit Shammai Rim Mefakpek Ono Telechat Minatayim, Ubeit Hillel Rim Mefakpek Ono Telechat Minatayim. Now, the Gemara is going to ask within Beit Shammai why I need to do both. Why can't I just replace the alternate boards, put the kosher schach in? And so the Gemara is going to explain that it means that in essence, that's what I really need to do. We'll see in a minute. That even if I did replace the boards, I still have to alternate with the schach. And Beit Hillel says, mefakpek, either I could move the boards, then I'm in good shape. Oh, no, tell it's not been a time. Or I'll interpose kosher schach in between them. In other words, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra. So there's no problem with using a roof, you know, board that's more than four tefachim. We assume that it's more than four tefachim. That's the way Rashi learns the Mishnah. Each board is more than four tefachim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel doesn't hold from Gzeira Tikra. So the only thing I have to worry about is Tasev Lo Manasui. So Beit Hillel says, Mefakpek, so I'll just lift up each board and put it down. That's A. Oh, it'll tell something to time. Or in the alternative, I'll lift up alternate boards and I'll put kosher schachim between the boards. Now, Rashi talks about how you have the right shear. So to make a long story short, we had this the other night where I was alternating between kosher schach and unkosher schach. So Rashi, the simplest shot, and we'll discuss more on Shabbos, is that, you're alternating from different sides of the sukkah, and in the middle, I get two sections of schach. So I get eight tefachim of kosher schach in the middle. Not in that picture, he doesn't have it. There's another way to explain the Mishnah as well. But let's use Apshat, which is one of the shots that Rashi has. Okay? So now let me just finish up this Mishnah. Let me finish the Mishnah, then we'll repeat again, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? So now, on the Mishnah, though, on line four, Rabbi Meir disagrees with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds, again, according to Rav, Rabbi Meir holds you do have a Gzeira Tikra. So Rameir Omer, no telechot min atayim meinam apakbeg, that you just alternate to schach. And the Gemara is going to say that it sounds like the same as Beit Shammai, but we'll see in the Gemara. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anyway, so forth.
Yeah, would you please?
What, I can't hear you. Say again, Ruth.
Sorry, could you explain, please, Gzera Tikva?
Yeah, we've been discussing it. You see, you missed last night's shiur, Ruth, and you're not here for a day, and I'll go over it for you, but you should understand when you go away for a day, then you're missing a lot of Torah, and it doesn't, well, you can't walk into the chemistry class, mid-semester and say, I don't understand, how does a carbon atom join with a hydrogen atom? Anyway, so Gzeiras Tikra is that that even if I assume that a plank would be good for schach, and it was a plain plank that's more than four tefachim, but if I hold from Gzeiras Tikra, it means that the Chachamim were concerned that if I permit that as schach, the person will say, you know what? I go in my house, the roof is made of the same material, and I'll be there. And the truth is, in the house, even if the roof is made of it, it's still not a kosher schach because it wasn't placed there for schach. In other words, that's his dira during the whole year. He didn't place it just for shade. So it's not good. So because of that, it's a Gzeira not to use these planks for the roof material. All right?
That's Thank you.
Okay.
And that's exactly where we went now, to the house with the Tikra.
Right, that's where we're at, yeah. Okay, what's up? Which one? Which picture? 166, is that kosher?
156?
166. And what's the problem? Why is it?
But the board lining, I thought everyone agreed that the board is in the middle, it's not kosher.
So again, we said that if I have a space, you're right. If I have a space with schach pasul that's four tefachim wide, then that would divide the sukkah into two sukkahs. That's what we said. It would divide the sukkah. Now it could be here. Remember we discussed this.
On one side, it's divided with four
tefachim. Here. All right. According to Rashi, we could say it's talking about a sukkah. I think it's like exactly 8 amot by 8 amot. Okay, 8 amot by 8 amot, and 8 amot. So that which is in within dalet amos of each wall, I could like grandfather in from dopanakum. I could say with dopanakum, and then the way Rashi has it, not like this picture. Here, let's do the Rashi together. Okay, here, come on, we'll do the Rashi. Okay, let's do the Rashi. It's the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Okay. We may or may not tell a couple bit of time. Do you have it? Everybody with me? Okay, in the Rashi? Okay, Shai, you with me? Okay, Rabbi Meir and Sil Khabin Atayim, Avalo Yifakpeg, but he shouldn't like move the planks. Chain Pikpuk Mo'ilo, because that doesn't help. Rabbi Meir Latami Damari Misakim bin Asarim. Rabbi Meir holds, I can't use those boards as, for Schach. Yeah, the Psal Shep, please, everybody needs to mute themselves. Somebody unmuted themselves. He says, now, through the schach that's in the middle, it'll become kosher. Now Rashi explains, so this is what you're asking. According to Shmuel, if I have a space of four tefachim, my schach pasul, that'll destroy the sukkah. He says, So we'll explain it the way Rashi explained it earlier. He says that we'll have two strips of kosher stock in the middle, which means the aimbom, it means, so each strip will be four tfachim, eight tfachim total, not like the picture. The aimbo ela arba amot, and the entire sukkah is dalet amot by dalet amot, so it's only eight amot across. He says, the dofen akuma minan ad psalim. So I could say that everything up until that large strip of schach in the middle is subsumed under dofen akuma, and I don't have to worry about it in terms of a kosher sukkah. And so the nesarim are really not part of the sukkah. Inami, or else I could say, Rashi says, Sfir Leik Rav, or else I could say, Rameir holds like Rav, and we have not done this yet. The Amar Lekaman, Schach Pasul Beimen Atzah Beimen Emsa, Biar Ba'amot. So Rav says, to Pasul Sukkah, not for Tfakim, but Dalin Amot, for Amot of Schach Pasul, as it says, Hilkak will Pasul in the Sarim Shabbat Atayim. Therefore, the boards don't Pasul it, the Lekashir Pasul Biachad. Okay? Right, that's the way that picture of the book is going. Okay, all right, let me just summarize this mission again, and then we'll go on. Maybe it didn't work out bad that we didn't begin later. Okay, all right, I'm just repeating again. Okay, let's all focus. So we had discussed yesterday about the machlok, about Gzera Tikra. So according to Rav's Hesber of the Gzera, Rabbi Huda doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra, and Ramirez holds from Gzera Tikra, all right? And we're talking about Gzera Tikra with four larger than four tfachim. Rashi takes this mission is talking about boards that are larger than four tfachim. Okay, that were passed. So Rabbi Yehuda, who does not hold from Gzera Tikra, is explaining the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And the way Rabbi Yehuda describes machloket, Rabbi Yehuda, is perfectly lined up with Beis Hillel, which works out well because halacha follows usually Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel holds according to the way Rabbi Yehuda explains it. Beis Hillel doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra, and Beit Shammai does hold from Gzera Tikra. But since we usually follow Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that's why it fits in well with me. So therefore, the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says, Beit Shammai says they hold from Gzera Tikra. So according to Beit Shammai, he's got the house, he's mefakpek, he lifts up each board and puts it back down. And in addition to which, the notel chat min hatayim, he takes one alternate board in between and substitutes it with kosher schach. And the Gemara will ask, why can't he just do that? What does he have to bother with the boards? We'll see. Uvid Hill Omrim, Beit Hill says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mefakpek, either he lifts up each board, because they don't hold from Gzera Tikra. So I lift up each board. Now I don't have a tapam pasta mina asui, because I didn't put it in the shame sukkah. I lift up the board, put it down, I have like a sukkah. He says, oh, no telcham in a time. Or I alternatively replace the boards, every other board, and then I have kosher schach there. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda understands the machloket. Then the Mishnah says that Rabbi Meir, who holds from Gzera Tikra, he says, and we have to clarify everything, no telachat min atayim in a mefakpek. He just alternatively takes out the boards and replaces it with kosher schach. Okay, we're just getting into this Mishnah. Okay, well, now I'm going to go further. Now, the Gemara is on line 5. So, b'shleima beit Hillel, tamay b'shem ta'asev l'mana asui. So, beit Hillel, I understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel. So, Beis Hillel doesn't hold from Gzera Tikra. So that being the case, the only thing I have to worry about is Tasev Lomanasui. Tasev, that at the time I put it there, it's like kosher schach and doesn't become kosher schach through like another act later on. In other words, like Tasev Lomanasui, remember, like I build the sukkah and there's a tree over the sukkah. And then after I build the sukkah, I chop down the tree. That's Tasev Lomanasui. In other words, at the time, put the schach on, it has to be kosher schach, not that it becomes kosher like through some other event. So here, according to Beit Hillel, he's putting the roofing material on. He doesn't intend the shame scoff, doesn't intend the shame sale. So he says, that's Taseb Lomanasui. Ima Pakpik Abile Maase. So Beit Hillel holds, if he replaces the boards, he's doing a Maase. Fine. Now he's got kosher scoff. Ino Telefat Minatayim Abad Maase. Or if he alternatively replaces the boards, he's also doing a Maase. Now he's got kosher scoff. According to Beit Hillel. Okay. Ela Beit Shammai Mai Tamayu. But what's the svara for Beit Shammai? He says Beit Shammai holds from Gzera Tikra and they also hold from Tasev Lomanasui. Imishum Tasev Lomanasui, if the issue is Tasev Lomanasui, b'chad asagi. So then either one of those, you know, methods would work for Tasev Lomanasui. Imishum Gzera Tikra, if he's concerned with Gzera Tikra, the Notel Kamina Tayim Saki, then alternatively replacing the boards is enough. So why does Beit Shammai say to do both? Why do you need both? In other words, the first thing, which is moving the boards, that only helps with Tas Lamanasu. It doesn't help me with Zeres Tikra. The second item with replacing the alternate boards, that helps me with both. But Beit Shammai says to do both, to replace the boards and to move the boards and replace the alternate boards. So the Gemara says, Le'ola Mishum Zeres Tikra. The Gemara says, no, in Akinami, Beit Shammai is concerned with Zeres Tikra. Bahachi Kamri, this is what they're saying. Afal Pishu B'Fatpeik means even if he did move all the boards, in no tail akat midatayim in ilo lo. And it was, even if you did move the boards, which you don't have to do, but even if you did do that, you still need to replace alternative boards with kosher schach because of gezeirat tikra. Okay, so now the Gemara says, ihachi, if that's the case, eima seifa. Let's go to the seifa of the Mishnah and see if it fits in, if everything fits into the puzzle. Ihachi eima seifa. Rabbi Meir Omer, no tail akat midatayim. Rabbi Meir says, he just takes alternate boards and replaces it with kosher schach. He doesn't move all the boards. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Remeir hainu Beit Shammai, then Remeir would really be the same as Beit Shammai. Now, we don't think that Remeir would be lined up with Beit Shammai. And Remeir, like the Gemara, they quoted from the Aruch Laner, the Gemara learns in Eruvin that halakhic Remeir be gzeirot tab. Halakhic is like Remeir with his gzeirot. So So we don't think that he's going to hold like Beit Shammai if it's because of Gzeiras Tikra. Because so the Gemara says, he says Remeir Ahinu Beit Shammai. So Haki Kamar, this is what he's saying. Remeir Lo Nechu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Badabar Zeh. There was never a machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on this. So in other words, so Remeir is saying there is a Gzeiras Tikra and it wasn't subject to machloka tonight, right? So in other words, let's go back. So it's really saying, in essence, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Gezeirat Tikra is up to machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai holds Gezeirat Tikra, Beit Hillel holds no Gezeirat Tikra. So, but I hold like Beit Hillel, so there's no Gezeirat Tikra. Rabbi Meir is saying, no, there was never a machlok about Gezeirat Tikra. Everybody holds from Gezeirat Tikra. And Mimela, therefore, you take one and you alternatively replace it with a schach. Now, let's just see in a minute. So the Gemara says, So my Kamash Malan, the Remeir like Zera Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda late like Zera Tikra. So what is the Tana Mishnah really teaching me? In essence, the Tana is just teaching me that Rabbi Yehuda holds from Zera's Tikra, and Remeir doesn't hold from Zera's Tikra. So the Gemara says about Fligubah Karazimna, but we already know that from the previous Mishnah. In other words, what is this? What is the Mishnah? What is it cutting that I didn't know already? So I knew from the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from Zera's Tikra, Remeir holds from Zera's Tikra. So what is this Mishnah saying? Mishnah is saying the same thing in essence. When you boil it down, it's saying the same thing. He says, Didnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, this we did yesterday, Misachin bin Asarim de Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, one can use planks or boards for schach. That means the way I'm learning, according to Rav, even if they're for the tefachim or wider. Remeir Oser, Meir doesn't permit it. So the question is, why do I need both Mishnayot? If they're both teaching me Zeres Tikra, the Machloket, they're both teaching me the same thing. All right? Everybody good so far? Good? Good? All right. So the Gemara says, Amr Kibra Amr Yochanan, So Reb Chibra Abba has shot in the earlier Mishnahs. Now, Reb Chibra Abba and Reb Yochanan saying the previous Mishnah never discussed Zeres Tikra, contrary to the way we understood it up till now. We'll see in a minute. Well, the Gemara is going to slug it up, but the Gemara thinks right now not. He says, what was the issue in the previous Mishnah when it says about Nesachin B'Nesarim? We assumed, according to Rav, that it's planks that are four tefachim wide. So he says, no. He says, Reshim Nasar Meshupin Askinan, meaning the thing key is that they're planks, but they've been smoothed down. In other words, like small, it could be less than four tefachim, but they've been smoothed down, like from that which a carpenter would do. So he says, Meshum Gzeirat Kalim Naguba. So they got involved with the Gzeirat Kalim because of Meshum Gzeirat Kalim Naguba. In other words, that they were concerned. In other words, a plain piece of wood which doesn't have a base kibble is not makabel tuma. But that which is a keli can't be used for schach. So they were concerned, according to Rabbi Yochanan's pshat here, that if they would use these, you know, smooth planks for the schach, people would come to use kelim for the schach. That's the thinking. So he says, let's just see further in the Gemara. says Amru Kibrab and Ryokan, Rashim is Sarmashukan Askinan, Mishum Zera Kalim Naguba. So the Gemara says, Urab Yudam Arab, the Amar, Sikha, Bechitz and Zacharim Ksheira, but a Keva Psula, Logazar, Zachar Matun a Kevot. So the Gemara says, yeah, but wait a second. But Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rab. This is not Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rab Yehuda, the Amara. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rab, and we had this the other night. Sichcha b'chitz and zecharim. If a person used male arrow shafts for the schach, that's kasher. Remember, the male arrow shaft has no base kibble, no opening in it. In other words, it's just a little piece sticks out that goes into the arrowhead. So sichcha b'chitz and zecharim ksheira. Then a kevot psula. Michael, you said, well, that's right. Michael?
Yeah,
okay. But if you use the female arrow shafts, the ones that have a hole in it, that's psul, because that's darvish makabel tuma. So b'mela, below gazar, zachar matun kevot. We see that Rav doesn't extend the gzeira for, in other words, there are some arrow shafts that are possible with the kelim. Other arrow shafts are not possible. He doesn't say there's a rabbinic prohibition against using the kosher arrow shafts because of the non-kosher arrow shafts. Now we assume that Rav would, if indeed there was such gzeira, we assume that Rav Rav would be following it. But here he's not. So Hakanan lo nigzor nesarim mishupin not to kelim. So if that's the case, and we assume like Rav would be following, you know, like the normative halacha, so then there's no reason for us to assume that there's a gzeira, just like there's no gzeira over there extending something from a keli to something which is not a keli. So to here, there's no reason for us to assume it exists in the previous Mishnah. Zepshat is out the door. Okay, so we're still left the same question. Why do we need both Mishnayot? El al korchaka, reisha pligib zera tikra, b'sefer pligib zera tikra. So you have to say, you're right, there's a machloket in the last Mishnah that we did yesterday, because zera tikra, there's a machloket in today's Mishnah, also about zera tikra. B'fligi b'tarti zimni lamali, why do they have to have a machloket in two instances on the same topic? So the Gemara says, Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda, the Ka'amar Le Rabbi Meir. In other words, in the Seifa, in other words, it's like one continuing discussion. In other words, they have a machloket, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether there is Tikra. So in the Seifa, in our Mishnah, the first Mishnah is the Reisha, the our Mishnah is the Seifa. So in our Mishnah, the conversation continues, Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda, Ka'amar Le Rabbi Meir, Amai Ka'asar Ben Asari Mishnah, Zera Tikra. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, why do you prohibit Kalim, the Nisarim, the boards, because of Zera Tikra? He says, Hai Sfar Lebeit Shammai Hu Did Lahu Vilul Gazri. In other words, I'm demonstrating to you that there's a machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel does not hold from Zera Tikra. So you should come over and agree with me. Right. In other words, your Shita is like Beit Shammai. You should be like me, Beis Hillel. Let's all go with Beis Hillel. He says, Ba'ama Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says back to Rabbi Huda, Lo nechlu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel B'davar Zeh, that there was never a machloket about this. Everybody agrees there is a Gzeiras Tikra, so I'm not goreis the way you said it. Okay? All right, right. Okay, good? Everybody good? All right. Let me do a few more lines, and then we'll take a breather. Now, Hanicha L'Rab D'Amar Machloket V'Sheish Bahen Arba. Now, up until now, we've been explaining the machloket, assuming the whole machloket is with nesarim that are more than four tefachim. And again, in our Mishnah, we're dealing with nesarim that are more than four tefachim, because in a house, that's the way the homes would be constructed, with boards that were more than four tefachim. So if we say, like Rav's pshat, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from the gzeira, and Rabbi Meir does hold from the gzeira, so everything makes sense, the Mishnah makes sense, everything's fine. He says, the Rabbi Meir it lay gzeira tikra, Rabbi Yehuda lay gzeira tikra. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, the Amar B'Shem Ben Arba Machloket, Shmuel says, no, the Machloket is between three and four Tfachim. But, Aval Yesh Ben Arba, Dibri Kopsula, but if there are four Tfachim, according to Shmuel, everybody agrees that they're Psula. So in that case, in our Mishnah, everybody should agree it's Psula, according to the way Shmuel is saying it. So Seifa B'mai, please. So what's the Machloket then? There shouldn't be a Machloket in our Mishnah. Because according to Shmuel, everybody, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, agreed that when there's one for Tfachim, that is Psula. And yet I have Machloket in our Mishnah. So why do I have that Machloket? So the Gemara says that Shmuel explained the Mishnah, the Bituli Tikra Kamiflagi, that the Machloket here is not with placing schach, like boards, on a sukkah, but taking an existing home and being Mevatel, the the shame, in other words, the purpose why the boards were placed there. So the svara would be like this. The svara to say, it sounds paradoxical. There's a svara to say that there's a gzeiras tikra when I'm putting boards on a sukkah for sukkahs, but if I'm in a home and I'm just moving the boards, there's a svara to say there is no gzeiras tikra. Why? Because here, the person's already demonstrating by moving the boards that he knows that I can't remain in the house the way it is. In other words, gzeiras tikra was, I was afraid if I allow people to sit in a sukkah with these boards that are for tzvachim, some people say, why don't I need a sukkah? I'll sit in my house, I'll be yotze. And they won't realize that in the house, I have to make changes in order for it to be. But here, I'm dealing with a person who's already making those changes. So it could be, there's as far as saying there is no gzeiras tikra when I'm in my house. If there's no gzeiras tikra, we said he could do either one. He could either move the boards or he could put the schach there. If there's a gzeiras tikra, he's got to put the kosher schach in between. So it could be that when I'm in my house and I'm like moving the boards, so by that I'm demonstrating that I know that I can't remain in the house the way it is. So there's no gzeiras tikra for that reason. You know what I mean?
But for the next guy,
okay, one minute, wait, 90 seconds. Okay, I'll get to the next mission, and we'll open up the floor for all discussion, okay? So in other words, that's one svar. It's machloket. So according to the way we're explaining it, the way Shmuel is going to explain our Mishnah, so the way Shmuel will understand, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both agree there is a gzeiras tikra with boards that are for tzvachim and grade. They both agree with that. But here, when I'm in my house and I'm moving the boards, according to the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, there is no gzeiras tikra. Because I'm demonstrating that I know I'm Phyrexian. And Rabbi says, no, even then there's gzeiras tikra. And so I have to do the thing. So let's just see. I'm just going to read it inside, and then everybody will weigh in. Okay? So let's take a look. So the Gemara says, three lines above the Mishnah. Sefer b'mai plihi, what's machloket? And the sefer means that our Mishnah could be tule tikra k'mi plihi. They have machloket when you're mevatel the tikra. You mean you're mevatel like the existing ceiling. He says, mar savar batla b'hati. One holds that would be the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that by just moving the boards, so that's it. I change it now. It's a different kala shame. Remorse for Bahati Bobava. One holds, no, it doesn't do anything to me. And I have to, Mamela, I have to put like the kosher stock in between the boards. Okay. What do you have for me, Fern?
According to the Mandamar that says there's no issue of Gzeira Tikra for the guy sitting in his house, isn't a Gzeira also for the next guy? In the next house, that because he may not see you loosen it, he may just see that the boards are there.
Yeah. So let's look at Rashi on this, okay? Let's look at the third white line in Rashi. Downstairs, the third white line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, the Betula Tikra. Okay, I need everybody to mute themselves again, okay? Betula Tikra, Kolomar, Amalach Shmuel, Shmuel would say to you, Leolam Bashiishman Arba'a, Aloy Takan Tikra Mitzchila, if the boards were four tefachim wide and there was never a roof or a ceiling before, the shavu balasachef b'hu l'shem sukkah, and now he wants to build a sukkah, I feel Rabbi Yehuda pasil. And even Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not good if it's more than four tefachim. Because v'ina mishum tikra, shal yavo b'yashiv tachat korot beito, we're afraid that he'll sit in his house under the boards. V'yomar mali's mali chadasha, what's this one or a new one? Well, hashta, Zu tikra haita, but now it's an existing roof, ceiling, whatever you want to call it. Ubali de ma'as had l'sot l'shem sukkah, and now he's doing actions to create the same sukkah. V'zemochiach shiudeish amra Torah ta'asev l'mana asui, and so he's demonstrating. I know I have to make a change with this. I know I can't just sit in the house this way. Pligi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir. So this machloket ii katu l'migzar mishum tikra lo. Rabbi Yehuda savar bituli tikra l'bayit. Shemai Sarithli told Mibein Atayim. I'm sorry, I didn't read it right. I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Bituli Tikra LeBeit Shammai Sarithli told Mibein Atayim. The Avagav Nemochiyah Shabaki B'Tasim L'Masui Gazriba. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Gufa is Machloka LeBeit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, yeah, Yenachinami is inside, but it's tough luck. Ubeit Hillel Savar came into Batla. Since he's mabatul existing roof and he shows that the show knows that two lekel migzar, Rameir savar lo nech tu bechulei va'apa gazer. Rameir holds that there was a zera. So you have a good argument, Fern. You know, maybe somebody would see it. I don't know the answer to that because you're right. Somebody, Yeah, but no, in the well, you know, in other words, the question is, why was the original gzera made? In other words, so if I frame it, the gzera is that a person will think that I could just, what's the difference, this one, or I could be in my house, would be one thing. If in other words, you sort of want to expand that out a little bit further, which sometimes they do have, that I'm concerned that other people will see me. It's a little bit of gzera l'gzera. Other people will see me sitting in the house this way, and then think that they could do it. I don't know what more to say with that. I don't know what more to say about that. Let me think it over for a second. In other words, other people will see me, and they'll think that they can use the ports fakum. But it's like gzera for gzera. The ports fakum is gzera the rabbanon, and then now you want to add on gzera that all people see me sitting that way. But it is tricky because sometimes the gemara does have gzera that way. Okay, any of the questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's take a look further in the gemara. Okay, and you're right, it did take a long time. But even with that, we have plenty of extra time, I believe. Okay, we'll see how this goes. All right, now, okay, we're 8 lines from the bottom on Tet Vav Amud Aleph 15a. Let me just see if I have anything my sheets to say on this whole thing. Today's top tip. Okay, it's coming up. Let me see this. Where is it? Well, let me read a little bit of this. So he's on this thing about the machlok b'hil beit shamai. So he says, Rabbeinu Yaakov Balaturim notes the custom of some to refrain from eating kitniot on Pesach. Kitniot are the vegetables. Beis Yosef offers two explanations for the custom. The first reason is it was common to find kernels of grain and to mingle with beans. The second reason is that kitniot could be used for making bread to avoid any confusion with bread, making grain. Custom developed to refrain from consuming kidney oat. Poskim discussed what the kidney oat derivatives are included in the custom to refrain from eating kidney oat. In other words, what about the totseret from kidney oat? Right. Well, assuming that peanuts are the kidney oat, but that would be it. All right. Rabbi Yitzchak Chochan Spector ruled that liquid kidney oat byproducts are permitted. He explains that although generally we are concerned that there may be the kernels of grain mixed in the kidney oat, nonetheless, any presence of chametz found in a liquid mixture would be nullified before the arrival of Pesach, and the mixture would remain permitted. Addressing the second concern, like another example would be, let's say, I think like corn oil would be an example of that. That would be a derivative derived from the kidney oat. Addressing the second concern, Rav Spector writes that there is no room for concern regarding liquids. Our Gemara indicates that once the board is lifted, we are no longer concerned that someone will confuse the board that was lifted with the board that was not lifted. The reason there is no concern is that by performing an action, the person demonstrates knowledge of this halakha, and we no longer need to express concern that he will confuse one board with another. Similarly, once the kidney were manufactured, by straining out any kernel of grain that may have been present, the person demonstrates knowledge that grain is prohibited, and there's no room for concern that one may confuse kidney with grain. Okay, I think we're good with that. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. Now, all right, let's do the next mission. So, 8 lines from the bottom. Hamakara sukkato b'shvudim. A person has a sukkah and he's trying to do schach. So he's makara b'shvudim. He provides like these spits, like these metal rods. He's using like to support the schach. Now, the emes is aliba de hilkata. We say that you shouldn't even support schach with something which is not ruid b'schach. But that's what he's doing. Hamakara sukkato b'shvudim. O ba'aruch horamita. Or he takes the side of a bed. So the side of the bed is wood, but, and we'll see, but the Gemara considers it to be keli. No. Right. In yesh revach beinem kmo tank sheva. So the Tana Mishnah says, if I have equal space between them, maybe it's easier to figure this out with the shvudim, like the shvudim are like metal poles. So I have the metal poles spread across the ceiling. So if the space between the metal poles is equal to the metal pole, and we'll discuss, this is a mirishruk beinim kmo tank shera. In other words, I'm going to put kosher stock between the metal poles. That's the way it's coming out. So if there is an equal, the way the Gemara has an equal amount of space for the kosher stock, it's shera. And the same thing with the aruch horamita. In other words, the sideboards of the bed are like planks. And that's not kosher stock, though, because it's a keli, or we'll see. And then I'll have kosher stock in between. Now, Must be a nice picture here for us. Let me see in picture book.
Yes, the last picture on page 49.
Okay. Okay.
168.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So there he has the Arukotamita. He has like the sideboards of the bed. All right. And then he's got Shvudim there also. He's got a little bit with Shvudim in the foreground, and then he's got the Arukotamita. So he's got interspose, like the Schach Pasul is both Shvudim and Arukotamita is the way he's doing, even though the Mishnah sounds like either or. Here he's got both of them there. Okay. Now the Mishnah continues. Now, this is maybe Fern's favorite case, I don't know. But here's our haystack, and we have on the next page,
the first.
Yeah, I got it. So he digs a hole in the haystack to make a sukkah. So he says, ain't a sukkah, that's not a sukkah. So because again, that's Tasev Lomanasu is what we discussed. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara wants to say our Mishnah should be a question to, or should be a question to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. The Itmar Karetz Kaomei. Now this is talking about mechitza are like walls, like partition walls for Shabbos for Erevin purposes. So the Itmar was stated a machlok and amarayim. Karetz Kaomei. Let's say I have the same amount is standing and the same amount is open. So in other words, an equal amount open, an equal amount closed. So I have a little bit solid, a little bit, you know, open. Let me see, do you have a picture for that? Yeah. So he's got a picture here, picture 170. You see? So I have Paritzka Omeid. So let's see, Paritzka Omeid, Rapapa Mar Mutar. Rapapa says that's fine. Paritzka Omeid is Mutar. Rapun Rav Yeshua Mar Asur. And Rapun Rav Yeshua says that it's Asur. That's what he says. Now, he says each one, let's look at the Rashi on this, three lines from the bottom. Paritzka Omeid, Leinin Mechitzot Shabbat Itmar. This was said concerning the Mechitzot for Shabbat, the partitions for Shabbos. Three lines from the bottom in Rashi on Tepel and Aleph. Mechitzah Shanasei Papasin Rechavin Shosha. I'm making a Mechitzah comprised of slats of wood that are each three tfakim in width. Viniach min pas lapas kim lo pas. And I leave three tfakim of space between each segment. So I have segments comprised of three tfakim, and then space three tfakim. He says, the naftalai mitorat lavud, the chenal pnei kula, the havalei paratz ka'ome. Now, once three tfakim, it's outside lavud, he wants to say. The chenal pnei kula, the havalei paratz ka'ome, with the chabataha ha'manith, and the havalei pasul kasher. So if I have an equal amount with a partition, is that good? And the same thing is going to be with the schach. I have an equal amount kosher schach and equal amount non-kosher schach. Is that good? That's going to be the issue. Let's see back on the Gemara.
Why does that picture have two full walls? Would it be a different question if they had the same situation on the other two solid walls?
All right. I don't know. I don't know why you did two solid walls. Okay. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, So Amalek Rav Huna Yeshua. So Rav Huna says that's Asur. We pass them like Rav Huna Yeshua. So if it's Paritzka Omeid, that's not a good Mechitza. So Rav Huna Yeshua, but this Mishnah doesn't sound like that, because this Mishnah, it sounds like if it's equal, and it's good. So, and it's interesting, you see, like the constant is constant. Like in this first parak, is the constant intertwining with Hilfot Mechitza, you know, from Eruvin. So he says, Amalek Rav Huna Yeshua, my Kmotan, what does the Tana mean when he says kimotan, that there's equal space, the nichnas viyotze, meaning, if I'll have, my pen is in my jacket, but I need more than one pen. All right, but anyway, but the point is like this. Let's say I have, you know, one pen space, right? Those are the metal bars. So when it says that the space is kimotan, it doesn't mean exactly the same amount of space. It means that the space is such that I could easily take an iron rod, a shvod, and put it in there and move it out without any interference. You understand? So when it says kimotan, it doesn't mean equal amount of space. It really means that there's a little bigger space than the metal. That's what he's saying. there's more empty space, which is going to be the kosher schach. That's what he's saying. So he says, so that's the way Rav Huna is going to explain the Mishnah. So if that's the case, there's no shilas. So definitely on my roof, I've got more kosher schach than pasul schach. So he says, I'm not going to put in the shoe a mic full time, but this has to be outside. So turn page, Ahmed Bey's, and here, like, the page is a different look when you're doing Dafyomi. So the top line, but if Charlotte Sam say, but the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah said, Kimotan. So in Achinami, you're explaining that it could mean larger, but it could also mean the same, and the same would be kosher also. So Amr Rabbani Bamadi, so Rami disagrees with that. And Rav Ami says the Mishnah means that there's more space than the rods occupy. So the space, the kosher schach, is bigger than the space for those rods. That's what is coming out. Now, Rava Amar, Rava says you can even say that there's not extra space. Everything is equal, but there still won't be a question against Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Imayun Netun Mesheti. No, not Erev. I think there was a mistake in the art school here because Sheti, they translated in my art school that if it's crosswise, what do they have in yours? Yeah, that is correct. Lengthwise, they must have changed it because in my edition it says crosswise. So Imayu Netunim Sheti, meaning if the Shvudim, if the metal rods were placed lengthwise, no, not Erev. He's going to put the kosher stock crosswise. Erev, if the treif stock was placed crosswise on a sheti. Now, let's see Rashi in this, and we'll explain on the fifth narrow line in Rashi. And again, these aren't such simple sugyas, and you see the world of Tosfos, which tells me that you have issues. You have issues coming up. So let's see on the sixth narrow line. Rav Amar, Afilu b'mitzamsem, Rav says it could even be b'mitzamsem, exactly the same space. If the shvudim were lengthwise, I'll put the kanim crosswise. In other words, Hilkach Habale Kashem Rubal Psul Mubatlan. Meaning that in order to support the Kanim anyway, it has to be this way. You don't want it to flop down. In other words, Shvodim are going to support it. But the Rashi is saying like there's a point where the kosher schach crosses over the treif schach, right? In other words, if the Shvodim are lengthwise, I'm putting the kosher stach crosswise. You look at my fingers in the cyber's world, right? So it's going like that. It's like crosswise. Rashi, again, there's different pshat you'll take in this, but we're going to do the simple pshat. Rashi's saying that the kosher stach is going to be mevatel, the non-kosher stach, at the point where they cross over. That's what Rashi's saying. That's mevatman. Rashi says, he says, hilkach habalei kasher merubal apsul. So there's more kasher than the psul umivatlan, Rashi says. So there's a whole question, like how does this work with bitul, the whole thing. But just for dafyomi purposes, we'll say that in Achinami, I end up with more kosher schach because the point where the two cross over, I'll say there's more kosher schach because it's part of a, in other words, you have the treif and you have the kosher, but the point where the treif intersects with the kosher, like besaka kol, is more kosher. So the kosher umivatel, the treif. In other words, I have the poles. All right, which picture? Okay, so 171.
Doesn't look like what you were saying. It's all parallel. You were talking about them being perpendicular or at an angle.
Yeah, so he has, I'll tell you what he's got here. See, it's going in a different direction than the Shvodim here. It's not exactly the way Rashi describes it, but you see like the reeds are lined up in a different direction than the metal are. But anyway, this again, the simple shot, let's just focus on this thing. Let's say, can I borrow your pen for a minute? Okay, thank you. All right, everybody looking? Here's the pen. The pen will say, it will be the, all right, or the pen will be, let's say, we'll make the pen or the kosher, and my finger will be the tray. So at the point where the kosher schach intersects with the tray, So I'm trying to create a kosher sukkah. So I have this whole reed coming over. And then at one point, there's a little bit of treif, but there's more kosher than treif. So the kosher is going to be vatel the treif at that point. That's the way the Gemara is saying it. Okay, but there's more to discuss with this, but that's going to have to be it for Daf Yomi purposes. Okay, all right. Let's say now the fourth wide line from the top, or the fourth line from the top on Tetvav of Days. O Baruchot Amita. Now we said that if the schach was covered with shvodim or ruchot amita, so I need the space between the kosher and the treif, and then it'll be, in other words, there's more space, it'll work out. Or we said crosswise also works out. So, but the point being that it sounds like aruchot amita are not kosher schach. In other words, the sideboards of the bed are not by themselves kosher schach. So the Gemara says, lema messiah le the rabbi bar tabyomi. Should I say that our Mishnah supports Rav Ami Bar Tavyomi? The Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyomi, Sichcha Bibalai Klayim Psula. Now, we assume like this, that the sideboard is not a keli by itself. In other words, the keli would be the whole bed, would be a keli. The sideboard itself is not a keli. But nevertheless, we consider it to be Pasal Scha, because it was part of the keli. That's what we think. In other words, it's Gzeira Durabanan. In other words, the whole bed would be a keli. This is the keli, but since it came from a keli, so we don't want to let you lose it. So we think that this would support Rav Chanan. So the Rav Chanan Rabbi Yami Bar Tavyomi, because Rabbi Yami Bar Tavyomi says Sichcha B'Blai Kelim. If I cover the sukkah with worn out like rags, worn out pieces of begadim, it's psula, even though it's not a keli anymore, but it came from a keli. Let's see Rashi, two lengths of upper gets wide. The Bilai Kalim, the Kamim Farish, the Matlonio, Chamberhen, Shalosh, Shalosh. So later on, the Gemara is going to explain these are like little rags or patches that have less than 3 etzbo by 3 etzbo. The Avogav, the Hashalim, the Kabli Tuma, even though now they're not in the Kabli Tuma. And you have to say it's like you do like Karka also, so it'll be like flax or something like that. He says, Kaven, the Mekliatu, since it came from a Kali, which would be the whole Beged, just like you can't use the shirt, as schach, you can't use like a little rag that came from the shirt, even though in Akinami it's not a keli anymore. Ruchot nami, so similarly with the sideboards of the bed, hashlam kabli tuma, they're not makabli tuma, lo kazalamidi elamikli ka'atu. They came from a keli. So we think that our Mishnah supports halacha of Rabbi Bar Tavyomi, that if something came from a keli, I can't use it for a schach, even though it's not a keli right now. So the Gemara deflects that proof. And the Gemara says, four lines from the bottom in the Gemara, Kida Amar Reb Chanan Amar Rebbe Ba'aruch Ushtei Kra'ayim B'Kitzara Ushtei Kra'ayim. So like Reb Chanan said of Rebbe, that, and we'll say where he said it in a minute, it's talking about a side post with two legs or a short post with two legs. Hakanam Ba'aruch Ushtei Kra'ayim B'Kitzara Ushtei Kra'ayim. So to here, meaning we assume that it's not a keli. The Gemara is saying that it is a keli, and we're going to discuss what it's a keli for, because it's only a piece of the bed, but it's going to be a keli, and the mela, therefore, you don't have any proof for to Reb Ami Bar Tavyomi. Okay, now let's see what the Gemara says. So, okay, go now. Give me bye-bye. So the Gemara says, Hecha Itmar Reb Chanan Amar Revi. So the Gemara says, where did Reb Chanan say this halakha in the name of Revi? Yeah. If you want to join us, you're welcome to. Whatever works better for you. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hecha Itmar Reb Chanan Amar Revi. He says, aha, on the following. We learned the Mishnah. Now, this is a Mishnah from Masechet Kelim on the top line on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, 16 at the top line. He says, Mita mitameid chavila umiteret chavila Reb Lezer. According to Tan Reb Lezer, a mita, a bed, can only become tame as a unit, as a complete unit, and can only become tower as a complete unit. In other words, I have to take, you guess you have a special mikvah for the bed, but the whole bed, that's the only way it becomes tower. But chachamim omrim, and then if you look at Rashi, chavila biyachad, umiteret chavila, on Rashi, in Timeahi, in Tvila olela evarim evarim, la mitakna umatbila. In other words, you have to take the whole thing and then immerse it. So the Gemara says, on the back of the Gemara, chachamim omrim, the chachamim say, no, it is susceptible to tumah even with its component parts, umatera nevarim, and it can come tahor with its component parts. So my nihu, so what are those component parts that according to the Chachamim are susceptible to tuma and can be made tahor? Means that the component parts have to be something that by themselves are keli. So Amar Reb Chanan and Amar Rebbe, so concerning that, Reb Chanan said to Rebbe, Arucha Ushtei Krayim, meaning the long side post of the bed with two legs, Kitsara, or the short side, you know, head, like the head of the bed or the tail of the bed, Ushtei Krayim, with two legs. So the Gemara says, Lamai Chazu, what is that? What can I do with that piece? In other words, I don't have the bed. What am I going to do with that piece? And I think we have a nice picture here, right? So, if you look at the picture,
175.
Yeah. So, yeah, picture. Well, 173, 174 shows the picture of what we're talking about, and now we're about to talk about 175. So he says, "Lamai Chazu was a good four. Lemisbechinu aguda, I could bring it near the wall, as you see in picture 175." Now, there's a question on how to read the next few words in the Gemara. Some say that you leave out the meitav alayu. Some say lemisbechinu aguda umishta ashli. Some say it means I'll bring it near the wall, and then I'll attach the ropes, and then I'll have a bed. So b'meila, it's a keli. So just the side post is enough, or the head post is enough. That's what we think. Or others want to say that it means like this, and there's different ways you can read this. The spachino aguda ulamei tavalai umishta ashlei, meaning bring it near the wall, and it's good to sit on it. In other words, I could sit on it without the ropes, just the frame. I could sit on it. Or ulamishta ashley, I could put the ropes there, and then I have a bed to go. But the point being that it is ra'ui to be a keli. So that being the case, so then in the Mishnah, it could be that the arucha ramita are pasul for schach, not because they came from something and was a keli. They themselves are kelim, and they're pasul that way. All right, let me just do a little bit, and then we'll call it a day. You're right; this will take much longer than I thought. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Good, I like happy people. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. all right, we learned above that only items which are not makabel tuma, not susceptible to tuma, and gilumaris and grow from the ground may be used as schach. Metal spits lack these conditions and are therefore unfit for schach. The Mishnah indicates that if one covers his sukkah with a mixture of valid schach and metal spits, the sukkah is valid. As long and learning was Leluna Sham of your father tonight, Rafi. I mentioned at the beginning of the daf. And so today is daf Ted Bob. We're on daf Ted Zion already. At 7:05 we start. Where is that announcement? On the emails they sent out? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. All right. So, anyways, learning is for your father, Rachman and Mani. Anyway, so let me just read a few lines, that'll be it. It's 2 minutes. So the Mishnah indicates that one covers the sukkah with a mixture of valid schach and metal spits. The sukkah is valid as long as the metal spits comprise only 50% or less of the sukkah covering. The Gemara deduces proof from this halacha through a papa's position that paraska omeda b'mechitza, fence with gaps that are equal in size to the solid part of the fence, is a valid mechitza, and the area enclosed with such fence is classified as shosviyak and enclosed part of domain. Okay, now the Mishnah on Bay states the sukkah shekamatemru mitzvah tapsula. If more sun than shade is pasul, Rashi and Chaf Bay says that schach must cover more than 50% of the sukkah. However, if exactly 50% of the sukkah is covered by schach, sukkah is pasul, because the floor of such a sukkah will have more sunshine and shade since the light spreads. So this is getting tricky here. In other words, if I would assume the way we wanted to, that it's 50%, you know, kosher schach and 50% non-kosher schach. So we said earlier that if it's 50% shade, it's not a kosher sukkah. So Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi and cites our Mishnah as proof that a sukkah which is 50% covered with schach is valid. For our Mishnah, in the case that a sukkah which is covered 50% by metal spits and 50% by valid schach is valid. The Marashah, in defense of Rashi, explains that it depends on the sequence of the schach placement. If half of a sukkah is covered with valid schach, and the other half is left open, or is subsequently covered with invalid schach, the sukkah pasul, because when the valid schach is placed, it served to block out less than 50% of the sunlight shining on the sukkah floor. Our mission addresses a case in which 50% of the sukkah was first covered with spits, and afterwards the gaps were filled with valid schach. At the time that only the spits were on the sukkah, the sunshine on the floor exceeded the shade. Therefore, one can validate the sukkah by filling in the gaps with valid stocks, since valid stocks serves to block out more than 50% of sunlight on the floor. But I thought in the Gemara, though, we ended up saying that it was, according to one of Kemta, it's more than 50%, because it's like, you know, the spaces were larger than the spits. You know what I mean? In other words, here, he's assuming in this, let me see the Gemara again. Yeah, but I'm saying he's assuming, you see, Rav Papa says Buta, so he's assuming like Rav Papa's, like the Mishnah goes like Rav Papa, but the Gemara ended up reconciling our Mishnah with Rav Huna's Shita. So Rav Huna's Shita is in Achinami, there's more than 50% covered. All right, that's going to be it for tonight. Let me end the recording. 1 minute.